Our Father God, we're here this Easter morning, and Lord, we want to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. Father, we thank you so much that we can do this, and Lord, as we get ready to hear from your word and talk about what happened on this day, well, not exactly this day, but what happened on Easter, Lord, we want to just come to you, and I hope you minister through me and just speak to everyone here, Lord. Let everything that's not from you just fall to the ground. In Jesus' name, amen. Today's Easter. A lot of people probably didn't come out today because it's Easter. I think it's probably one of the most important holidays in the life of a Christian. But there's a lot of people don't really even know what we're celebrating on this day nowadays. So many people don't get to or don't read the Bible like they ought to. And it used to be parents raised the kids and pointed them to the Word, and you don't get that as much anymore like you used to. So I'm glad that anytime I'm allowed to be out here and share with people, because I hope there's some that may have never heard this that do get to hear it. So to talk about as to what Easter is, first we got to talk about who Jesus is. Because Jesus is all about Easter. Or Easter is all about Jesus, actually, the other way around. I get it right. According to the Bible, Jesus is the Son of God that came to the earth. And how do we know that? Well, there's a lot of scriptures that talk about it, but I want to read John 3:16 through 17. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." And I think that's verse 17. A lot of people don't read that one when they read the first one. But I think it's important. Because Jesus didn't come here to condemn us. Because ain't none of us right. We all make mistakes. We all mess up all the time. So it's a good thing he didn't come to condemn us. He came to save us. He came to help us. And that's why that's needed. You know, all of us are sinners. As a guy once told me, he says, the only difference between a Christian and a non-Christian is really one prayer. Because it is that simple to become a Christian. It takes a little bit more than that to live the life of a Christian. That's a little harder. But to become one, all you have to do is receive Jesus as your Savior. And that part is pretty easy. But even after you do, you know, there's always this, people always think that Christians ought to be perfect. And I have it pointed out to me a lot of times when I make mistakes. Well, you ought not be doing that. Or why'd you do that? Well, it's not necessarily because I want it to. A lot of times it may be because I want it to. Even so, I know it's wrong. We all mess up. And that's why Jesus had to come. Somebody had to come and pay the price for everything that we do wrong. It's just like when somebody gets murdered. They look for the person that did it, and that person has to pay the price for what he did. The same way, somebody had to pay the price for all our sins. Well, that's what Jesus, that's why he came to this earth. So what did God do? How come God is so worried about that? How come he's so worried about that sin? In Habakkuk 1:13 is what I want to read to talk about that. It says, "Your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrong." God just can't deal with wrong. He's a perfect being, and he just can't deal with it. He cannot put up with sin. But he loved us so much that he still wanted us to be able to be in communications with him. He still wanted us to be able to be with him at some point in time permanently. Not just here on earth. I'm talking in heaven someday. That's what he wanted. So he had to create a way for that to happen. Well, the only thing that could pay the sin of the whole world was Jesus, because he's the only one that was ever perfect. And that's why he had to come to this earth. But how did this all go down? How did this happen? Well, I want to read in Matthew. Jesus came to this earth, was born to the Virgin Mary. He grew up just like we did. He went to school. He grew up. He helped his dad, who was a carpenter. And then he started his ministry. And I want to take off in Matthew 20:17. It says, "Now as Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, he took the 12 disciples aside and said to them, We are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. See, the religious people in those days didn't like Jesus because he said that he was the way to heaven, and they didn't like that. They were living by the Mosaic law, which had all kinds of do's and don'ts and rules, and that's what they taught. They weren't helping people. They were just a bunch of self-righteous dudes that, you know, they thought in their own mind they were doing the right thing, but they weren't. Let's go back to where I was reading there. Now, as Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, he took the 12 disciples aside, said to them, "We're going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and the teachers of the law," like we read earlier. Then he says, "They will condemn him to death, and that will turn him. They will turn him over to the Gentiles to be mocked, flogged, and crucified." So he knew he was going to Jerusalem to die. Now, how would you like to have to go? "I'm going to Texas next week because I'm going to go down there to die." That would be something really hard to deal with, I would think. I mean, even Jesus, I mean, when he came to this earth, he laid down his godhood, you might say. He came down here as a person. And he was 100% person, but he was also 100% God. I don't understand how you can be that, but that's what the Bible teaches. But the 100% man in him, he had to dread that. And there is scripture that even show that. I mean, he didn't want to die. We're not programmed that way. But he knew that's what he had to do. So, you know, he knows he's on his way to Jerusalem. He's going to get crucified. He's going to die. And the religious guys of those days, you know, they thought they were just getting rid of him. But see, they were actually doing what God had planned. God knew that was going to happen. And he was willing to do that because it was going to save the world. But see, there's one thing that I left off when I read this last scripture, you know, when it ended with, "They will condemn him to death and will turn him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified." The very last sentence I left off, and it says, "On the third day he will be raised to life." See, we all die. Any one of us. Back then, crucifixion was a pretty common practice for criminals. See, and any one of us back then, if we would have done something severe enough, we could have been crucified. So if it ended right there, it'd be like, well, okay, he's dead. You know, he'd be like the rest of the religions. You know, Muhammad, he died. There's, you know, different religions that believe in their own gods. None of them resurrected, but Jesus said right there, you know, on the third day, he will be raised to life. So just like the old song says, they got this old song, I think the Baptists sing it or something, but it talks about my Redeemer lives. So the guy that came to this earth, that laid down his godhood, that was crucified, went to the grave, he was in the grave for 3 days. 3 days later, he rose. That's what we're celebrating when we celebrate Easter. Because if he were to remain dead, we could all go home and just not even worry about this. So I think it's awesome. I love the fact that he was raised and came back to life. And where is he now? I mean, where did he go? Now it's over? No, it's not over. In Mark 16:19, it says, "After the Lord Jesus had spoken to them," this is right at the very end, after he had resurrected, he met with his disciples here and there, he showed himself to different people to prove that he was alive. And that's where this verse comes in at. It says, "After the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven, and he sat at the right hand of God." So he's up in heaven with God right now. And if you read John 14:1, it says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." That is his promise. And that's what makes Easter the greatest holiday out of all the holidays there are, I believe. He rose and he went to heaven. And if you hang on to that and you trust in him and you believe that he did that, you too someday will be in heaven. But, you know, a lot of people think that going to heaven, not so far off. You know, that's not something that we really need to worry about today. And for most of us, it is a long ways off. And if you don't worry about it today, that's probably okay. But none of us know how long we're going to be here, and that's the scary part. You know, I lost my mom a year ago. I didn't know she was going to go home. But that's the great part. She went home, and I know that she went to be with Jesus. So her death, as sad as it is, and you know, you cry over your loved ones when you lose them. But when you know that they went to be with Jesus, you know you'll see them again someday. And that's great. So I'm glad that we can be here and celebrate Easter. I'm glad RJ lets us celebrate Easter here. And one thing that Jesus asked us to do to celebrate what he did, I want to read 1 Corinthians 11:23-26. It says, "The Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" That was something that Jesus asked us to do in his memory. So what I'd like to offer to everybody this morning is I'd like to, they call it communion for those of you that have never done this. And all it is remembering what Jesus did for us, basically. And I got these neat little communion cups that have a wafer in them and a little grape juice. And it represents what he did for us. And I'd like to pass them out to for whoever would like to do that with me. Don't feel like you have to. I'm not here to force people into anything. But let's pass these around. These little cups are kind of nifty. You probably figured them out. I almost needed instructions the first time. But you peel the plastic off and you get a wafer, which represents the bread. And then you peel the foil back and you get the juice, which represents the wine. But I don't like to drink, so I'm glad it's juice. Everybody that wanted one, get one? Okay, let's say a closing prayer. Dear Lord God, thank you so much for reminding us again as to what Easter is all about. We thank you so much that you felt that you loved us enough that you sent your son Jesus to come here and die for us. We thank you so much that he rose 3 days later and went to heaven to prepare a place for us, because the first half wouldn't mean nothing without the second half. So as we just took communion, Lord, we just want to do that in honor of Jesus. And we thank you. Lord, as we get ready to race on this day, I know you don't mind us having fun, Lord. We're getting ready to go race. I ask that you would protect all of us. Be with us. Let us be safe. Lord, if you feel like turning up the thermostat and bringing the sun out, we'd love that also, but we'll take whatever you give us, Lord. We just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank y'all for coming.